satin, white satin, never reaching the end.
Welcome back to Extra Features, episode 71. This is Kevin.
I'm Hugh Hefner.
I'm Karen.
Ginger.
And Dan.
I have a question for you, Dylan. Do I look like a turtle?
You have to speak verbal. No, you don't look like a turtle.
I have a question. Are we looking for new interns? Because the intern told me the other week he was retired from the show.
Oh. He's retiring from the show.
Yeah, he's too busy to watch movies because it's baseball season.
Oh, really?
So do we need to hire a new intern?
You know how many times I've tried to quit this show?
What?
Seven. No, many times.
And?
You just don't know how to quit this show, do you?
Every time I try to get out, they pull me back in.
How many times have you tried to quit this?
I've tried to quit many times over the years. And every time Bob is like, no, you can't quit. I need your arms.
That sounds a lot like your doggy voice.
That doesn't sound like me.
No, it doesn't. I don't want to watch baseball.
I've never quit this show.
You can't quit the show. You live it.
I live the show, that's right. I have nothing else to do lately.
Yeah, no. I wonder why.
Damn lockouts. I'm a repressed postie and I'm not happy.
Not good.
Don't worry.
When are you planning to retire?
Bob?
Well, why don't we just bring it on us in
23 years.
You're retiring in 23 years?
That's right.
From the show?
Right.
Okay.
I'll
be...
Would that be in your afterlife?
Yeah, it might be in that. Yes, as a matter of fact.
Will it be when apes are our masters?
Well, maybe Zach will be available then.
That's true.
Well, you are going to Ottawa, Karen. So
I am.
So I'm going to give Zach your personal information so he can get a hold of you.
Right, I'll do that. Get right on it.
You could record an episode on the road.
I think you should. Get Zach Mito. I'm going to work that out.
We could do extra features on the road.
Sure, feel free.
All right. I'll see what I can do. I'll try to fit it in between the wedding and the reception.
That's perfect time.
All right.
An hour there. True, Zach can make it.
You can record at the reception.
There you go.
Think of the guest stars.
I think you'll have a date.
I don't know. My friends aren't as witty as all of us. That might not work.
I'll come.
I can help.
I'll come as your date. I don't have an issue with that.
All right. I don't know if Ottawa's ready for you, Simon.
So, Kev,
I'm
a little confused. What's our lead-in? Afterlife's the lead-in?
Afterlife is the first movie on our list.
Did Death make this list? Concerned with AIDS?
No. Anyway, Afterlife is directed by Agnesa, whatever.
What's Boston?
You know what?
Is she related to Arnold Boston?
Who the hell cares? This movie's crap.
Well, it starred Liam Neeson, Christina Ricci, Justin Long, Celia Weston, Chandler Canterbury, Alice Drummond, Josh. Now, can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah.
I didn't see a movie called Afterlife. Is this the movie where he dies and he comes back and his life has been replaced?
No.
Okay,
That's unknown.
Okay. It's funny that these movies are out at the same time. Now, what's the premise of Afterlife? Someone explain that.
Bob, this was your pick.
This was your pick? I have you to blame for having to watch this piece of shit?
Yes, Bob.
Oh, looks like I'm outvoted on this one. Okay, Afterlife, Christina Ricci is the lead character. Apparently she got into a car accident, but she doesn't think she's dead. Liam Neeson believes she's dead because he's the mortician? Undertaker?
Grave digger?
Mortician.
Post-life expert.
Okay. Yeah. Apparently he can talk to the dead. So she still thinks she's alive.
And you know what? Christina Ricci's mother's name is Morticia.
Is it?
So it works out, right?
Well, it works out perfectly.
Was she Morticia from the Addams Family?
Actually, wasn't Christina Ricci in the Addams Family?
Yeah.
She was Wednesday Addams.
Oh, okay.
First part.
That's why you're saying it.
So it doesn't work. Falls flat.
Okay. Well, the fighting went there. Just rapier sharp.
Okay.
Continue.
Okay, so she thinks she's still alive and she does everything to get out of his clutches. Mwahaha. Meanwhile, Justin Long, who plays her boyfriend, is trying to think, Yeah, see, like, he's so upset, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and he's trying to get her back.
Okay. Riveting. So, Karen, what do you think?
Piece of shit. I can see why nobody picked it up and why it was a direct-to-DVD title, and that's 2 hours of my life that have just been completely wasted. Christina Ricci either needs to eat a big pulled pork sandwich or put on freaking clothes, okay?
Why, is she naked a lot in this movie?
She's naked, and hold on.
Did somebody just tell me they didn't like Christina Ricci naked?
Yeah.
That upset me. No, Christina, listen to me.
Good work on a pulled pork sandwich. The girl's too skinny.
I'm going to give her one as long as she's naked.
You can't. Christina needs to be naked. Many moons ago. That's all I can think of. It's like, good God, eat a damn sandwich. Seriously.
No, thank you. Christina Ricci can have anything she wants.
All I could think about was pulling pork sandwiches.
Exactly. Christina Ricci naked in bed? But why is Justin Long in this movie? Can he stop having any kind of career?
I think
he's the flavor of 2 years.
Yeah.
He needs to go away.
Bye-bye. He's there for the Mac commercial. That's it. You got like a pocket dimension you can stick all these failed male starlets.
Well, Chris O'Donnell finally went away. So I'm hoping.
NCIS, right?
Yeah, but I don't watch that stuff, so I don't care.
Not NCIS, CSI.
Ooh, no.
Oh, no.
He's right. Something Los Angeles.
NCIS.
Los Angeles.
Right.
Okay. Who cares? This movie's complete crap. I mean, the only reason it even got made, I think, is because of Liam Neeson. You can't tell me Justin Long can play
a movie. No, I think it's much more sinister than that. I'm pretty sure that somebody who wanted to make this movie had compromising photographs of somebody, because I cannot, for the life of me, think of any other reason why a movie that has been so roundly condemned and attracted such little attention.
I didn't even know it came out to video.
That's
I didn't
my exact
look for
point.
It.
Thanks, so, Debbie, what did you think of the movie?
Well, you see, I decided that I would be kind to myself. And part
so
of
you didn't
agenda,
see it?
Yeah, because part of my agenda is being nice
so
to myself.
So you disrupted.
Well, but the fact is, though, is that this is a movie with a good cast that did not get anywhere.
Isn't this the show where we're supposed to watch the movies and interview them? Or did I come on the wrong night?
It's a show where we're supposed to watch movies, but if it's a piece of crap, isn't it film?
Oh, there's lots of pieces of crap that they released in the theater. Believe me. I watched one this week.
But this is a piece of crap that wasn't released in the theater.
Well, it was supposed to be released because I saw... The only reason I knew about it was because I saw a trailer for it in the theater before another movie. So I thought, well, when's this going to come out? Because it looks interesting. I thought it looked interesting, but obviously I got voted. No, because I'm going to say right off, I enjoyed it.
Why?
Because it looked interesting.
Explain to me what was interesting about the nominal narration of Liam Neeson graining as a chisel and hitting my forehead.
Okay, it looked interesting. I can get that the premise of the movie looked interesting. But why did you like it? Because it wasn't interesting.
Because it was a respite from any of the other crap that I'm forced to watch.
But this was just as crappy as some of the other crap we have to watch.
Okay, but I still like it.
God, help us all.
On that note,
agree with us.
Let's move on.
On that note, Pirates of the Caribbean 4, was it on Deadly Tides?
Stranger Tides.
Directed by Rob Marshall. That epic director. Starring Johnny Depp, Penelope Cruz, Ian McShane, Jeffrey Rush, Kevin McNally, Keith Richards, Sam Claflin, Astrid Burgess Frisbee, Greg Ellis, and the cast of High School Musical.
Was there dancing in this movie? Singing?
There was probably some singing. Well, I know Bob would like it if it was, but Simon.
Why didn't you mention Judi Dench? Did she not get credits?
Dame Judi Dench.
She was in it.
I didn't see her.
Did you see the movie?
Yes.
You know when he goes into the, what do you call it, carriage?
Oh, for like half a second.
She's in it.
Oh.
Well, she got an Oscar for Shakespeare in Love for being it for half a second.
Eight minutes.
Yeah.
I did check on IMDb. She's not there.
Oh, they didn't list her? It is.
Uncredited cameo.
Maybe it was Depp. Maybe I was mistaken.
All right, who saw it?
I did.
No Karen, no Debbie. So this is a guy's night.
Go ahead, Cal.
All right, so we ditched some of the lamer cast members of the last three movies. And it's Johnny Depp and the first mate and Jeffrey Rush. And there's the lost Fountain of Youth found by Cortez. And they're trying to find that. And so is Blackbeard, so that he can get revived. And Penelope Cruz, a former girlfriend of Johnny Depp's, is actually the daughter of Blackbeard. And they go on their hunt. And there's lots of sailing, and there's lots of fighting, and there's lots of...
Talking.
I don't know, talking, and monkey. No monkeys.
No monkeys?
No monkeys in this one. But
wait.
You have a question?
Yes.
You have to read it.
Thank you, teacher.
Are you a bad teacher?
Yes, are you a bad teacher?
He asked you, not me.
Well, I don't teach anybody. But, I do have a question. Is there a mermaid in this movie?
Yes, there is.
Yes, there are mermaids in this movie.
Yes.
There's a rumor that there's a mermaid. No, sorry.
Did you like this movie, Kevin?
You know what? I didn't hate it. I gave a terrible description of it because it wasn't really great.
No, you gave it the exact description I would have given. Boring!
I went and saw it in 3D one day by myself.
That's upsetting.
You know, Debbie was away.
Lucky for her.
I had nothing to do.
Oh. This movie sucks, Kevin.
I joined the rest of America and chilled out there. Crappy $8, $15 or whatever it is for a 3D movie that was very dark.
And boring.
And kind of boring. And you know, the 3D was incredible. Ooh, look, a sword. Dr. Tongue says horror. Yeah.
Did you find after the first 20 minutes of this movie, it just got boring?
Yeah, it was boring. It was kind of boring.
I thought its escape was fine. I thought the king scene was fine.
The stuff in London was awesome. I like that.
And I was looking forward to that. Then we got on the boat. I'm like, oh, fuck. Here we go again. More boating with Johnny Depp. Wow, I just can't wait till he starts a fishing show next week and puts out a rod. Yeah, I don't know. Are we looking for the Fountain of Youth? Oh. I'm so
bored. Maybe get an Oscar nomination for your food.
Bob, anything to say about this?
Can I combine both your opinions and say be in the middle there? Because it,
oh, hold on,
you didn't hate it.
Marginal thumbs up.
Marginal thumbs up, yes. Because I didn't, as well, I didn't hate it. Kevin didn't hate it. You thought it was boring. You hated it. Of course, you hate everything, so.
But it's not, now, just as somebody who hasn't seen it, because on paper, this cast looks really impressive.
It does.
Johnny Depp, Penelope Cruz, Ian McShane, Jeffrey Rush.
Okay.
Ian McShane was good.
Ian McShane was fine.
He's black.
He actually looked imposing. Mm. I want to kick Jeffrey Rush in the nuts. Stop collecting a paycheck and act, please.
Yeah.
Right? They just like, even Johnny, they just show up to have fun. It's not like they're acting in these movies.
Right.
And it's just annoying to watch because these scripts all have sucked.
Uh-huh. But they're making money, so they'll probably make another one.
They're making two more.
But the first movie was so good. The Curse of the Black Pearl. That's a good movie. Which is why I'm disappointed when I hear that they've just been content to sort of settle into this depressing routine by now.
I don't know if I agree with you on that, but we're going to review the other ones shortly, so I'll hold off on my opinion of Curse of the Black Pearl until we get to it. So, two marginal thumbs up and a thumbs down. Mm-hmm. Doesn't say much for the big blockbuster season so far. Next on our list is an animated film, Rio, directed by Carlos Saldanha, starring voices of Jesse Eisenberg, Anne Hathaway, Karen Disher, Wanda Sykes, Jane Lynch, Jamie Foxx, Will.i.am, Phil Miller, Leslie Mann, George Lopez, Thomas F. Wilson, and more. And who saw this one? Everybody except Bob. What about Bob?
What about Bob? What were you doing?
What happened?
For a ball game?
For the busy? Baseball? Buffet? Free samples of yogurt fruits?
Philly Live concert?
fair enough.
Okay.
Well, Karen, do you want to start off with real?
I can do so. It was a visually pleasing movie. The colors, brightness, I thought the animation was great. Story as a whole, really lacking. Really lacking. Just blah.
Now, having said that, the voices were great. Jesse Eisenberg was great as Blue. I love
him. He was himself. There was no acting involved. He was his plain, boring self.
Yes, but we consider what a 180, even a voice role like this is from, say, the role of Mark Zuckerberg in Social Network.
No, same boring person. Yeah. Don't buy it.
Don't buy it.
No. No, I...
In a movie where a dog wears a gold lamé bikini, you fucking don't...
I like the dog in the fruit Carmen Miranda hat. Find it?
Where's Anne Hathaway's boobs in this movie? I was messing up. Doesn't she get naked in every film now?
No, that...
Animated. Animated.
Oh, animated boobs. I didn't have any animated boobs.
Well, it was Carnival. They should have been there.
No, well, they did for a couple seconds. They had her in a bikini, so it was close. Oh, no, that was the other chick. Sorry, that was Anne Hathaway. She's a bird. This movie's boring.
Yeah.
I watched it.
Was Anne Hathaway the bird?
Yeah, I forgot. She was
Jewel.
Jewel. After a while, I just didn't care because George Lopez just drives me insane. Every time he talks, I want something to go, taco, taco, burrito, taco, burrito.
Chimichanga.
That's all I hear when he talks. I just don't care.
You know, I agree with Karen that the animation in this was very good. Very good. And it was kind of different that they tried to show the world. By taking it to Rio and
which was very authentic, actually. Mm-hmm. There were parts that didn't even look animated. It looked very crystal clear. Animation, I have zero problems with. It was very impressive.
But I thought the story was meh.
There wasn't a story.
I thought the voices were okay. I didn't think they were terrible. Oh, wow. All right, who should I pass it over to? I was speaking. Can I finish speaking before
you may
I pass
finish
it over?
Speaking.
Okay. I didn't like the movie overall. I thought that it could have been better, but if I were a kid going to see this, I probably would have liked it. I probably would have thought it was okay. Anyway, here's Debbie.
Well, I just wanted to point out one interesting thing about the movie's location. It's interesting how, out of all the weeks in the year, this movie that happens to take place in Rio de Janeiro takes place during Carnival. I mean, it's like every movie about New Orleans that's ever made is always Mardi Gras week. It doesn't matter what... It could be a Christmas movie in New Orleans, and Mardi Gras parades will show up somehow. It's interesting how this is a movie where the most famous cultural event just happens to be going on in the background.
I thought Carnival was every other week. I don't know. Okay. Simon?
I have a question for the audience out here. I thought it was an episode of Dora. You know, they would show up, they need to find something, they need to ask the map. Yeah, it's exactly...
Swiping.
Well, that's what I thought this was. It's just a bad episode of Dora. Just way too long.
Is there a good episode of Dora?
Yeah, there's actually a couple more bad.
If I'm not as familiar with you.
Well, when Dora gets run over by a steamroller, it's my personal favorite.
Oh, right.
You can find that one online.
You have to burn that one for me.
No, I just thought it looked like Dora the Explorer. It had the same colors as Dora the Explorer. They all talked like the people on Dora the Explorer.
I just felt...
And they were blue.
Even for a children's movie, though, I was waiting for the message. And it didn't even really have a message.
It did have a message. You can fly.
No. Not really. Well, what is the message of the movie? Go forth and multiply?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Get married and have lots of rare endangered bird babies.
The monkeys did that. I like the monkeys.
The monkeys.
And for everybody who loves Flight of the Conchords, the baddie in the movie is voiced by Jemaine Clements. So that was kind of interesting.
That's not on your list, Paul.
Must be trying to catch
you
out of town.
Jemaine Clements.
Oh, okay. I thought you said Clarence Clements.
No.
Baby, you were born to me.
Jemaine Clements was the evil cockatoo doing his very best Tim Curry impersonation.
Wow, okay. Good facts. No.
I was humming it up. Sorry.
So, Rio, did anybody like it? Really like it?
No.
Bob. Debbie liked it.
It's on Bob's top 10 list.
Debbie liked it. Simon, your kid didn't like it, right?
No. She got bored. Yeah. I can tell when they get fidgety. They get.
Yeah, too much story in this.
It'd be on the top 10.
Yeah. She likes the Disney movies, but this one she didn't seem to like.
Well, this one's not Disney.
I know, but I try
yeah.
out stuff with her. Like, she loved Yogi Bear. She thought it was really funny. As sorry. I told her, it was sticky.
And, all right, so the next movie on our list of new movies, the last one for me, is X-Men First Class, directed by Matthew Vaughn, starring Michael Fassbender, whose name is now a verb, James McAvoy, January Jones, who cannot act, she's like a giant wooden... Anyway, Jennifer Lawrence, Kevin Bacon, Rose Byrne, Oliver Platt, Bill Milner, X-Men First Class. Bob, what'd you think? Say it into the microphone.
I did not see it yet.
Karen, did you see it?
Sadly, no.
Sadly, no.
But I want to.
You know what? We'll wait.
So
we'll
do
I. All
right, Debbie, First Class. You're the...
All right. Well, I went to see this with you, and I loved it.
And I held your hand and we had popcorn.
You're a bitter married man. Go back into your bitter married man hole. I liked this movie.
That was the first time you bought the electric truck.
Really? If you made me wait 2 years to buy me a stick of licorice, our relationship would have bigger problems than that. But I love the movie, all except for January Jones, who, considering how uniformly good everybody else was in the movie, I was really disappointed in her because she just sat there and looked like she was smelling a bad smell. In other words, like Betty Draper, extra slutty. Very sad. But Michael Fassbender is awesome, and if Daniel Craig ever gets sick of doing James Bond movies, Michael Fassbender can just step right into that Aston Martin.
Just the first thing, Jennifer Jones looks slutty any day of the week for me. I'll give her my personal address. Come on over.
Yeah, but as a straight woman, that's kind of lost on me. So I just saw a really beautiful woman wearing very little and just looking really upset about it.
That was okay. I didn't say
she could have cracked a smile. Jeez.
Well, she spreaded everything else in this movie. I was quite enjoying it.
But all in all, a great movie. And Jennifer Lawrence, who we all remember from Winter's Bone.
Both.
Yes. Is playing Mystique, which included, and then of course there was the scene at the start with Mystique as a child, which was incredibly disturbing.
Just a mess.
Yes.
There's a smurf in my kitchen. Yeah. This. Go for it.
This movie was awesome. Absolutely loved this movie. Oh my god, I could not believe how good this was.
Did you hear that, Bob?
The pacing was incredible. Like, the first hour flew by, I thought I finished the movie. And we weren't even halfway through. You didn't see the movie, point your hand
down.
No. Go ahead.
You actually liked the movie?
I did.
Karen and I are going to faint.
That's okay.
I'm going to jump out the window as soon as I get up from fainting.
Is that possible?
No, probably.
The stairs.
This movie was amazing. I thought the pacing was great. I liked the more of a tanker character. Rose Byrne did a great job. I thought going to pick up characters was great, especially the Wolverine scene. Oh, did I ruin that? Too bad. Don't listen to the show. Move along. And, I guess you put your fingers in that one. I just thought the pacing was great. I loved
Kevin Bacon.
And Kevin Bacon, I was getting to. Wow.
I never knew he could do that. He was a really wonderful villain.
He was excellent.
Yeah, and apparently that was him speaking German at the start of the movie. That was not dubbed.
No, definitely not.
Which is really impressive because it wasn't just like two words and then they switched to English. I mean, there's a long scene at the start of the movie where for the first 10 minutes of the movie, there's no English at all. And like the first quarter of the movie is a Bond movie.
Yeah. I'm with you. I thought the movie was fabulous. It'll make my top 10, guaranteed.
So do you honestly want to know what I thought of this movie?
Yes.
I thought it was awesome.
I'm throwing you at the window after Bob.
Great. This was, Michael Vaughn, or Matthew Vaughn, did a fantastic job with this movie. The actors do a great job. Even the White Queen, January Jones is about as wooden as you can get. But that's the White Queen character. She's crystal. She turns into a diamond form. She has no personality. She's just, cut. What are you trying to say? Do you have a question?
Well, I was going to say one other thing, though, is that the 1960s setting, wow. I mean, I never realized how awesome it is when they take something like a superhero property and they put it into... It's basically, it's a superhero movie in the Mad Men era. And it's great. The look of the movie is flawless.
I have a question for Deb. Can you get your own mic? And that'll make life easier here.
Well, this is coming.
We're just waiting for
Christmas is... 7 months away, 5 months away, or whatever.
How many sleeps
does
that fall?
He'll figure it out.
How long
till it'll take? So, Kevin, when's number two of this?
Exactly.
Is number two of this a green light already?
You know what? I don't think it's made as much money as they wanted it to make. Because Fox went in the last X-Men movie, did that piece of crap. Wolverine Origins was the last one. Did amazing money. And this one did $55 million in the first weekend. Which was only a fraction of the $300 million cost to make it.
Wow, $300 million? Like this?
So, the international, it was $150 or $125. The movie will make its money back, no problem. That's not an issue at all. But I think the thing is that they were expecting it to be a massive hit. That Thor made more money than X-Men First Class was an issue for Fox. So,
was it up against a bigger title when it opened?
No, it was the number one movie of the weekend.
Okay.
It's just that, you know, it's hard for a movie to get more than that. I mean, I think Hangover 2 was $80 million or something like that in the first weekend. But Thor also had the international on the same time. So it came through like at $174 million.
So we're not getting an X-Men 2, is that what you're trying to tell
no,
me?
No, I think you're talking about it. And in fact, Vaughn has already said how he's going to open it with the death of Kennedy. It's going to start. It's going to basically open with JFK getting murdered by Magneto.
Oh.
Which explains the whole magic bullet, is that it was being directed by magnetism, right?
Oh.
And going back through his body.
Can I ask a question, just as a non-comic book
sure.
fan, as all of you are? How did Michael Fassbender and James McAvoy fill the shoes? Because
well,
that was in all the interviews
actually,
they did, they talked about, you know, following such iconic
right.
actors in those roles.
Well, you have to look at this as a true prequel to X-Men 1 and 2.
Okay.
It's produced by Bryan Singer, and it's sort of kept in that same universe. You have to disregard X-Men 3, The Last Stand, and Wolverine Origins as just not happening. So this is the, you know, 30 years before X-Men 1.
Okay.
All of this stuff happened, and this is where Professor X started, and this is why they had to go with, instead of, in the comics, the original class was Beast, Cyclops, Iceman, Jean Grey, Iceman.
Okay.
And in this one, it's like Banshee and...
Beast?
Yes, thank you. And who else? I'm trying to think of who else was there. Anyway... what did people think of the de facto mutant, Darwin?
That was interesting. I wasn't really... didn't do much with him, though. He kind of...
Well, I think that was the kind of annoying, because they introduced this character, and you're like, who the hell is Darwin?
Yeah, I was thinking that.
His powers are that he survives. He has power to survive any situation.
Yes.
So if you throw flames against him, his skin turns hard or something like that, and fireproof. But he gets killed in the first fight.
So. I was like, oh, okay.
You know, he wasn't the fittest, obviously.
Yeah, he needed to go. Okay.
Anything more?
No.
A great movie. Really great movie.
Fantastic.
Yeah. All right, so that concludes our new movie section. So X-Men's a thumbs up on everybody. Rio's man. Really, it's an okay movie for the kids. Pirates of the Caribbean can be forgotten. And Afterlife should stay dead. Except for Bob.
Oh, in answer to your question about when Deb can expect the new mic, 185 days is how long you've got.
For Debbie to buy herself a mic?
Either her or you.
Well, Santa.
Me a mic
Santa.
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 Santa Claus. All right, open the vault.
Hey, there's a whole pork sandwich in there.
That is Sparta.
I think Dobby's in there, too.
Ooh. I think Bardos.
Harry Potter put pulled pork in his pants. And now he is free.
taking it in an entirely disgusting and inappropriate direction.
No, no, no.
Oh, that hurts.
I'm going to have a heart attack. You do CPR. You didn't intermission.
Mom, can you start the fire with me, please?
The pirate movie. You mean
yes, the first movie is pirate movie.
Yo ho ho! We are the pirates.
Okay, pirate movie is directed by Ken Anakin.
Is that what I'm trying to
say? No. Starring Christopher Atkins, Christian McNichol, Ted Hamilton, Bill Kerr, and other people.
Is there any singing in this movie?
Oh, yes!
I have not seen this movie, so I will confine my... I'll just be asking a question. There's singing in this movie?
Oh, yes! Wasn't it a musical?
Yes, it was.
Like a stage musical?
Yes, it was.
Hey, who saw this movie, by the way?
I did. I own this movie.
It's just point counterpoint to me.
Point counterpoint!
It's based on pirates.
Bob?
Yeah?
That's why you like the pirate movie.
What? It's fun! It's fun. It's also based on the Pirates of Penzance. The people that wrote Pirates of Penzance?
Gilbert and Sullivan.
Thank you, Gilbert and Sullivan. I forgot that.
Oh, you have fail there.
No, I can't fail. I just had a momentary blip for a second. I was too busy thinking of songs
for
a
city
that was tried to ruin.
Because I've seen... There's a Pirates of Penzance movie with Kevin Kline as a pirate.
Seen it?
Yes.
Yep.
No, but this
there's
is not
There's also a Pirates of Penzance with the Ted Hamilton character... It's either Ted Hamilton or there's two or three characters that transfer over from both of them. What's her name is in it too? Angela Lansbury is in the other version. Not this one. Okay.
All right, so we've got singing pirates.
Singing pirates and singing Christopher Atkins and singing Christy McNichol. All singing to one another. Yes, Simon.
Who the hell cares? Simon is crack.
I loved it.
Why?
It's a fun movie.
It's boring. The songs
fun
are...
Fun movie.
Boring
songs. You can't
songs.
Remember the names of the composers and you think it's a good movie?
Mm. Ah, thanks, Deb. See?
Fast.
There's nothing to say about this movie. It's a pirate movie. The pirate sees the girl. It's basically the Pirates by Dance, but in modern age. With bad songs. Really unforgettable songs. And that pirate.
Unforgettable songs.
And the captain of the ship was horrible too, trying to sing. When they're raiding the house.
I am the pirate king.
That's, oh, brutal.
He is the son of a pirate king.
And that is the best song ever.
There's more.
This movie ran ashore and should have died. I'd rather watch Pirates 4 again.
To quote the actual Pirates of Penzance, Frederick, save us, beautiful Mabel, I would if I could, but I am not able. And they're telling the truth, he is not able. We're doomed. This movie sucks.
Sucks?
Sucks.
Are you guys done?
Yes.
Probably.
All right.
I still say thumbs up for me.
Flash.
Hey, audience, go find a copy, and you can email Bob at... extrafeatures@gmail.com.
It's a good thing because I don't read it.
I'll make sure you get it. I think we should get Karen a copy of this on Blu-ray because she looks lonely.
Yarr.
No, because if Bob liked it, odds are it's a piece of crap.
That's not nice, Karen. Bob likes movies I like occasionally.
Yarr, you're making him swab the deck.
I can name one, Grease. We both agree on.
But Grease is a good movie.
See, Bob likes good movies.
Hotel Dogs.
Next.
Well, the next movies on our list are Pirates of the Caribbean. 1, 2, and 3. Curse of the Black Pearl. Directed by Gore Verbinski. Stars Orlando Bloom. The Elf. Keira Knightley. The Waif. Jeffrey Rush.
The Pirate.
Johnny Depp. The Flamer. Kevin McNally. Jack Davenport. He was good. Jonathan Pryce. Overacts. Lee Ehrenberg. Mackenzie Crook. And Giles knew. He knew not to take first film. I'm just trying to make something funny. It's just not funny. What did people think of Curse of the Black Pearl?
I liked it. Considering that this is a movie based on a ride at Disneyland, I thought this was a great movie. I mean, I went to see this at the Uptown Theater and just to date this, and it was wonderful. I was really not expecting much, and I was so happy that it was a good movie. This movie, I think this is the movie that turned Johnny Depp from being that guy that did weird indie movies into a full-fledged, no kidding, A-list movie star. People are throwing cake at each other.
Karen, did you see this one?
I did. I tried to watch it a couple of times and could never get into it.
Mm.
But more recently, I did watch it, and I still don't get the big hype about it. I don't think it was that great a movie. I appreciate it as a good pirate movie. I mean, costuming was very good. It was beautifully shot. I still don't get the big hype. I just think it was an okay movie. Kevin?
Well, I mean, I really thought it was overrated when it came out. I saw it in the theaters, and I thought it was loud, it was noisy. It was a Bruckheimer film set in the age of pirates. So it was actually probably appropriate for Bruckheimer films. But I didn't love it. I thought Johnny Depp was good. I actually thought Orlando Bloom was okay in this. I like what's
monkey.
His name?
The monkey.
I like Jack Davenport because I enjoyed him in that show Coupling, the English show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the setting was nice, cool, ship, dolphins, you know, all that stuff, you know. But, you know, I don't know.
What
do you
think of the extra scene?
Which extra scene?
At the end of all the movies, the pirate movies, there's an extra scene.
What is it in this one? I don't remember.
Well, don't you want to know how the monkey lives to 2 and 3, and they all blow up on the ship?
No, I didn't care about the monkey.
The only thing I remember about the sort of beginning scene at the end of the movie is that it involves the monkey chasing after a piece of fruit in the cavern, and he dislodges a piece of gold from the treasure chest, and then all of a sudden, zombie monkey!
That's right. That's why he comes back for 2.
Okay. Speaking of 2.
Hang on, I didn't get to talk about 1.
Sorry.
This movie's crappy.
There you go.
Boring.
You are speaking about 2.
I was speaking about 1. I just didn't like it. It was okay. I don't get the hype about it, though. Like, I thought the scenes were good. Did you see all the scenes from the rides?
Right.
Like, because I've been to Disneyland probably more recently than most of it.
It's like Citizen Kane compared to 2 and 3, but...
Well, absolutely. I'm with you, backing up 100%. It's like Citizen Kane compared to 2 and 3. I thought it was okay. I didn't think it needed a sequel.
It made a lot of money.
I know, so they gave one. I know how it works.
2.
So Pirates of the Caribbean 2, it amused me at the beginning.
What was it called?
Dead Man's Chest?
Yes.
Dead Man's Chest, yes.
I liked the beginning. I'm not going to say it started it because I don't care. Then Bill Nye, he's the only person they added. Don't care about anybody else.
Bill Nye.
Yeah, that's it. It's only
Skarsgård. And Martin Kleba.
And Naomi Harris.
Naomi Harris, I liked. Is Zoe Saldana in this one?
No.
She was the witch.
Yeah,
she's the witch, right?
Naomi Harris, but not Zoe Saldana.
She's in the third one?
Zoe Saldana is not in the middle.
I thought she was. Oh, well, that's fine. This was a big pitch crack. At the end, I thought it was fun. The last 20 minutes, I enjoyed when they're going around the big wheel. I thought was kind of enjoyable. Other than that, I don't care. I like the deleted scene, was my favorite part of this movie.
I'm sorry, I'm picking the music in my head.
Why? It's horrible.
It's just like a repeat.
Oh, I know. And so is the last fight scene, though. They go around that wheel for like 20 minutes. It's kind of fun, though.
There is one thing, though, that, I mean, the thing that sticks in my head the most about this movie was the bizarro CGI effects for the cursed ship's crew. And, you know, Bill Nighy's very impressive animated facial features.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, but I found it distracting because, like, the most interesting thing on screen is, it's not like you go to these movies for a plot, but I mean...
There's plot?
Strangely enough, I think there was supposed to be a plot in here somewhere. But,
compared to my favorite genre of porn, is this just kiddie porn? Like, not kiddie porn in the sense of that, but teenager porn? Like, really just popcorn porn. I don't know what we should have a new genre for these movies.
Popcorn porn?
Like, you're just going to this because there's no plot. There's no plot in porn. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just seems like a porn movie. Like, there's no plot. You just watch it, you turn it off, and you go home. Are you supposed to think about
this?
This one
was, you know what, this one was really, the second one was really awful.
When horrible. It comes down to it,
when they're on the things rolling around and they're running on top of them.
Yes.
That was the lowest point of my life.
Wow. You seem awfully sure about that.
Yeah. I wanted to throw myself under a bus that night.
Oh, that was after watching The Afterlife.
But then Jeffrey Rush rides in at the last minute and puts one small drop of awesomeness into this otherwise bleak. When you think of all of post-production work that was done in this movie, it never occurred to anyone at any point to say, wow, this is a really terrible movie.
I was reading an interview with Johnny Depp, and he's discussing the pirate movies with the director, and he says at one point, they didn't understand what was written on the script, they just filmed it. And that's a quote from Johnny Depp. I was reading going, he had no clue what was going on in this movie. He just filmed what he was told to do, and the director did. They didn't understand the script.
I mean, even more so in number three.
Three I can't understand at all.
At World's End. Yeah. Any new cast members in this one? No, I don't think so.
Oh, this
one is just weird.
Hold on, we didn't discuss the deleted scene, number two.
Oh, God, what is
that? It's the dog. Do you remember they had the pygmies were chasing the dog?
Yeah.
Well, at the end of the movie, you see the dog on the throat. Oh. And they're worshiping the dog. I cracked up. I thought that was funny.
Hilarious.
I don't know. So you should stay for the end credits, Kevin. I should get something.
I usually do. I'm sure I've seen
it. Maybe you were napping.
Yeah, I had
pissing ice. Maybe you were pouring yourself in your popcorn.
And now, and what better way to follow up the discussion of an uninspiring, effects-heavy, plotless piece of crap than with another uninspired, CGI, effects-heavy piece of crap?
Oh, no, this wins the award. It's the worst piece of crap in the series.
I saw the movie, and I at no point understood anything about what was going on.
Come on, the 17 Johnny Depps all wandering around talking to each other?
That was actually the high point of the movie. I'm talking about, like, the weird pirate gathering and how suddenly, like, all the thousands of pirates in the world know to come together and...
Oh, because they all had those charms. That was where they were supposed to figure it out. And then, okay, can someone explain to me, the witch becomes, they summon whatever the witch is.
The goddess, yeah.
The goddess, and she turns into a bunch of crabs, is it?
And there's something about how she's... the lost true love, the Bill Nighy character.
Which she is.
Yes.
And they're supposed to save her, and I did not understand any of that part.
Calypso.
Did anybody explain this? Can you explain this to me, Kevin, this movie?
Well, like, she was his last love, right?
Yeah.
And, if they could somehow reunite, then it would be okay.
Well, they did, eh? And is that what happened? Like, reunited and everything worked out?
They went around, and she got giant. And turned into little things.
Yeah.
And then there was a big whirlpool, eh?
Yeah,
and
I love the whirlpool.
Like the toilet.
Like the toilet, eh? Yeah.
Like little ships rolling around.
Yeah, like a ship. I grabbed the ship. Yeah. And watched the role like a bit, yeah.
Like, I know Orlando Bloom, he, like, becomes the captain.
Yeah, like, they took something out of him, eh?
Yeah, his heart or something.
Yeah, I don't know, man, but it looked painful, eh? It was like I had too many beers one night, painful.
Yeah.
When did Cheech and Chong arrive? Bob and Doug.
Bob and Doug.
Dog, man. Strange Brew, man.
So, like,
Karen's, like, hey, never seen, like, Strange Brew.
Yeah, in the 80s.
Yeah.
So when that whirling vortex opened, it was like a hole in my heart.
Which, like, the end scene of this one?
Which was?
Oh, you didn't see the end scene of this one either?
You're the one who was it all. I don't remember.
Keira Knightley and the kid waiting.
That's it! Because he can only step foot on land every 10 years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he obviously got lucky and got her pregnant on their first attempt at sex.
So here's where things get really strange. So the happy ending for those characters is that she's a single mom, stuck raising his kid.
That's what I was
thinking.
He comes
by every 10 years.
Yes.
Like, that's kind of depressing. That's like the family court outcome of Pirates of the Caribbean.
Well, he had his happy ending. He went off the sea. He's a seaman.
Did any of you two have anything to say about these movies?
I didn't see the third one, so I couldn't be bothered after the second.
Finally, yeah. Let's get some good, Kev.
All right. Final film of the night.
Hold on. No, we have time to do those other ones. We did the other
ones.
The Matrix movies.
How long is the show now?
We got time. Go ahead. Do The Stranger. Right. We have time.
The Matrix, starring Keanu Reeves and other people, starts. First Matrix movie was awesome.
Fantastic.
Great.
Really, really original concept. The notion that reality itself is just a mutual dream, and you know, and the idea of humanity enslaved and stuff.
I agree.
Freaking brilliant.
And let's not forget Bullet Time. Remember there was a time when Trinity was suspended in midair while the camera circled her. She was about to kick the various injury. Mm-hmm. That was cool at one point. Oh, the 90s. I remember you well.
1999. And then, of course, there's the Mr. Smith, or Agent Smith, who is awesome.
That's not the best part of this movie. Come on, Kev. What is the best part?
Anderson?
Did you notice that now, okay, when Neo's about to go break out Morpheus. It's quiet. I noticed in the movie, it gets very quiet. Like, nothing happens. There's no background music, no noise, no nothing. Then he goes into the courthouse or whatever it is, the tower, and they pop that techno music in. It reminded me of Blade, heavily of Blade at the beginning of Blade.
He just fills up his coat full of guns.
And he goes, do you have anything to clear? Opens his coat, and they just start gunning guys. I'm like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
That was my favorite part of The Matrix. That made the movie a 5 for me right there. Must see. Have you seen The Matrix, Bob?
Yes, I have.
Surprising.
Do you remember it?
Yes, I remembered it the last episode when we didn't do it, but...
we have time.
Okay. I did enjoy the first one, but I thought, like, when Neo is in with this group of people, there was two people whose voices sound eerily similar to Mark Wahlberg and John Leguizamo, but weren't. And I'm going, and I had to look it up, and they were like, huh?
What are you talking about?
They're all meeting in that. What? Anyway, the.
This movie's made a deep impression on you.
Yeah.
Who is meeting in the what?
Well, when they're
like in the elevator, like going through the doors.
Okay, they're in the beds. Asleep or whatever, and they're in dreamland or whatever, and the guy is talking them into it or out of it.
He's talking about the tank. The guy's name is Tank, I think, the commander of the ship, the captain.
Yeah, but are we thinking about the Italian actor who was in Risky Business?
That's who he's talking about. No, he's not talking about Joe Pantoliano.
Okay,
he's talking about the ship.
Joe Pantoliano only maybe one of them. He sounded like one of the two.
Forget it. Move along, Kevin. Okay. Anything else to say? I don't know what he's talking about.
Karen, did you see this one?
Yeah. No,
seen the Matrix.
None of The Matrix.
Oh, my God.
She's too busy watching Peter Pan. Finding his way to Neverland.
I can fly.
I can fly!
Don't disrespect Peter Pan.
Yes. Well, at the very end, Keanu is like Peter Pan. He can fly.
He can fly.
Well, then I might like it.
So, Carrie, just an offshoot, are you watching Jake and the Neverland Pirates?
Yeah.
Oh, it's one picture.
No, I'm not.
Okay, good. Yeah. You haven't seen the major. You've seen Fight Club, though, right?
Naturally, I've seen Fight Club.
Well, because some people here haven't.
Who has not seen Fight Club?
Like, wait a second.
Wait, hold it. Time out.
Hold on. Can you pass the mic to Deb? Because I want to watch. She's never seen Fight Club.
I'm sorry. I didn't have a chance to see it when it came out in the theater. And everybody else has already seen it 100 times. And I just have never had the opportunity to sit down and watch it.
Plus, it's disturbingly violent.
How many times have you seen Red Shoes?
Oh, about 10.
Did you watch Fight Club?
Just once?
Once.
It's just a matter of just getting a copy and sitting down and watching it.
Fine. Here's your homework. Fight Club.
All right, that means I have to see Fight Club then.
If you have not seen Fight Club by the next episode, you're not on it. Meaning episode 73.
So what? Like, what are you
going to
do? Are you
going to,
like, dangle me out the window by my ankle?
No, I'm just going to be.
Are you not
going to
like me anymore, Simon?
I never said I didn't like you, so don't be presumptuous. And I never said I did like you either, so it'll go either way.
So does this mean we're blackballing someone from Extra Features?
No, I just wanted to see Fight Club. We've given up on you, Bob. You've had 2 years to see Fight Club.
Okay, that's fair. I will make my point to see Fight Club.
I would like to know your opinions, actually, why I've asked you to see Fight Club. I didn't ask you to watch Kids for Nolan Following.
And I am curious, though, because I would want to read the book, too.
There's a book?
Yeah, it was based on a novel.
Oh, that would be bad.
So I just don't know if I watch the movie, then read the book, or vice versa.
Okay.
But I will.
Okay, Matrix 2, Gary.
No, I haven't seen any of the Matrix.
Oh, get lost.
It's not my genre. Bob?
By the time 2 and 3 started getting around, it started losing interest. It started like, eh.
Why?
I don't know. It just, like, it held, after the first one, it's just like, okay, they've done it before. Yes, I did. After the first one, I just thought, okay, they've done this before. But they changed a bit. They tweaked it. They held some interest for me, but then I just thought, damn, it's too hard.
Well, it's the rise of Mr. Smith, right?
Right.
Two.
Yeah.
And I like the Keymaker. The Keymaker was awesome. I thought he was pretty cool.
And what did you think of the second actress to play the Oracle?
So I did switch. I was wondering.
No, it wasn't a switch. What happened is the actress in the first movie passed away before they could film the sequel.
Oh, okay.
So that's why there's that whole detailed thing about how the Oracle changed her appearance to evade the agent.
Well, that's what I was trying to figure out what happened there. I didn't realize she had died.
No,
it
was one of those, it just happened very suddenly.
Okay.
And and to their credit, they acknowledged the fact that they changed actors, which is something they don't always do.
Because I was kind of confused. I'm like, I watched them back to back to back.
But there's a scene where she says, I still love Candy, though.
Yes.
And it was kind of a nice way of saying that, yes, it's still the same character, even though it's played by a different actress.
Okay. My only problem with 2, and I know people hate 2, is the first 20 minutes when they make Neo Jesus.
I don't know. I think that's kind of hard to avoid. It's a hard pitfall to avoid when you're making a story about an all-powerful character. Like, for example, the Superman Returns poster that's hanging above you, behind you. That is a Jesus, that's a straight-up Jesus pose. I think it's...
Actually, you're right. But isn't that a pitfall they had there? I think they could spend 10 minutes on that. They spent a good half an hour on
that. But there's one other thing about this movie, is that this is one of the first movies I ever saw where somebody flew and it looked real.
Oh, the Superman is amazing.
Yeah, Superman. No, but like with the Superman scene where Neo just sort of takes off.
Oh, that's my favorite. I can watch it
100 times.
I agree. Kevin?
See, I love the 20-minute techno rave in Eden, in the center of the Earth.
Oh, that was terrible.
That was awesome. And the guy with the white robes who just like...
Well, that's what my problem is. That's in the first half an hour. That's the whole scene.
The whole...
What was this
comedian called
Zion.
Let him die.
That first half an hour, that's where I'm stuck on. It needs to be removed. They need to speed that up.
And what I also found was interesting is how like it's all very drab in the real world, but the same characters when they jump into the Matrix, all of a sudden they're wearing like it's very fetishistic, like all the vinyl and leather, and then there's the nightclub scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, which, again, like, all of a sudden, like, everybody wearing plastic and leather. I hate to say it, but it got kind of boring. Like, oh, wow, look.
I have a question for Kevin. I was a little confused by this. they have to use a hard phone to get pumped in? Because they always have to find a hard phone on the grid.
Yeah.
Why can't they have cell phones?
Whatever reason, the...
Because it's not explained.
It's all... You see, the whole Matrix is all virtual reality.
I guess
so. So in theory, any line should work, but this is their internal logic of the Matrix world, is that the only way
to escape...
Screenwriter
thing?
Yeah, is to use a hard line.
Okay, I was just always confused. Well,
like a fax modem or something like that. Could they use a fax modem? Well, that's what essentially what they're doing. They're faxing their minds in and out.
Yes, I agree.
Right? Rather than you can't send a fax over a cell phone.
And should Trinity have died in this one? Like,
but
really,
he brings her back.
But really? Like, did she need to die?
Because he's the Messiah.
I know. I was just kind of like,
He reaches into her virtual heart and makes it.
I saw that. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah.
What do you think of the Merovingian and his...
lovely wife?
Vampires and werewolves virtual...
Yeah, I liked him. I thought the twins were really cool. I loved the twins. The Wonder Twin powers activated. I thought they were really cool. The freeway scene is phenomenal.
Yeah.
This movie, I could watch the last half an hour continuously.
Yeah.
Just for that freeway
dialogue. It's an action movie, but it's a, you know, make your brain hurt kind of movie.
Well, that first half an hour needs to go, and I'd be fine with it.
It's as bad as time travel movies.
Yes. Well, speaking of time travel, can we get the three?
Oh, can we get my time back for
a number? Oh, that is a horrible movie. I cannot understand.
Bob enjoyed it.
Bob loved it.
I didn't like the three.
So at the end of two, Keanu is blinded.
Yes, they can't find him.
Right. So in the real world, he's blind, but in the Matrix, he's not.
Correct.
And Smith is taking over everybody in the Matrix.
Yes.
So the big showdown is Smith, the million Smiths, or 5 billion Smiths, against the one Keanu Reeves.
Oh, that's some pretty cool scenes there, though.
Yeah, there's some good stuff there, but...
But I like
some of the fight scenes in the schoolyard.
Yes.
Kind of cool, but rubbery.
Yes, it's the same fight scene over and over again.
Yeah.
I want to know what you thought of the part at the beginning when he's having the shot, when he's talking to the software programs, mm-hmm. and they have the daughter, and the train guy won't let him on. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really well done. Yeah. I really enjoyed that concept of talking how programs talk to each other, and that he couldn't get on the train. And he found they had to get him on the train to get into the Matrix because he was stuck outside the Matrix. I thought that was kind of neat. Mm-hmm. But I thought the end of the movie was horrible.
Did you see that Australian actor?
Yes.
Playing the train man, the guy who was in the Mad Max movies. And he was the voice of Sauron in the Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
Is he the architect?
No, he was the train man.
Why did you think of the end of the movie? Dumb? Made no sense.
My opinion?
Yeah.
It was dumb. Made no sense.
Like,
well, it just negated everything that had gone before it in all the movies before it.
Well, that was my problem. It didn't really...
Does it just go right back to the start?
Yes. But we don't know.
What it reminded me with, it was a comic book story. And that's the Saga of the Swamp Thing annual. Did you read those Alan Moore books?
No, I should have.
Okay, well...
With my name from there.
After Crisis on the Infinite Earths, I'm going to put you right to sleep, but... there's something coming up from hell, underneath hell, and it ends up being like fingers reaching up, black fingers reaching up from the oozing of hell. And they go up and they grasp the hand of what you seem to be God. And there's a huge fight, and all these creatures are lost in it. And as they're getting ready to do this fight, various characters go into the hand, and the hand talks to them, whatever's behind it. And each character that goes in teaches the hand a little bit more, prepares it for the battle. So every character that goes in, it learns wrath, it learns revenge, it learns, you know, all these bad things, except for the Swamp Thing who teaches it to be considerate and think about what it's doing and whatever else. So there's a big fight, and at the end, absolutely nothing's changed. Hell goes back to being hell, heaven goes back to being heaven, where we're back at square one, almost like a reset, except... that now flowers grow in hell.
Okay.
And there's a little darkness in heaven.
Okay.
And that, to me, is what the end of the Matrix movies is. Basically, there's now sunlight, where there was no sunlight before. It's, you know, in the Matrix, there's a little bit of light.
Right.
And in the real world, the computers are going to be willing to let more people go.
Yes.
So they've reached a balance again, where each one is slightly changed from Neo's experiences, but they're pretty much back to being the way they were until the next Neo comes along.
I'm with that. But Wachowski's like, Duke of Randana, I thought was a solid movie. But I thought Speed Racer sucked. So kind of
Speed Racer was an incredible looking movie.
Yes, but not story-wise. It was brutal. It's like watching the same tunnel turn around 40 times, which drives me insane.
Well, the other interesting thing about the end of The Matrix is, when I saw this movie on DVD and they had, like, all the making-of documentaries, and they talked about how they had always intended to show that The Matrix, prior to the reset, was breaking down and how glitches were appearing in the system. And they talked about how they hired multiple sets of twins and triplets to be dressed identically so that it would be like the idea that the computers were starting to make errors and like the same character would appear in double and triple. And, or the fact that the Agent Smith character was becoming almost sentient and that the reset...
So he was sentient.
But the idea being that he was getting too powerful within the world of the Matrix.
Right. Well, he was challenging the rule of the computer mind. Yeah, so anyway, anything else to add about this? Okay. I like Speed Racer, by the way. In a strange way. I don't know why. And V for Vendetta, how can you go wrong with that one?
No, I loved it.
Alright, we'll do the final movie now.
Hold one second.
Oh, jeez.
Have you seen V for Vendetta, Karen? Karen's homework is V for Vendetta.
It's a great movie.
Go ahead, Kev.
Okay, last movie on our list is The Stranger, directed by Orson Welles, starring Orson Welles, Edward G. Robinson, Loretta Young, Richard Long, Philip Merrivale, Byron Keith, Simon, Batman, Mayor Linseed, whatever that means.
The TV series?
TV series. It was Mayor Linseed.
Yep.
Martha Wentworth, the voice of Queenie from Disney's 101 Dalmatians in 1961. So, who wants to kick off with The Stranger? Did anybody not see it? Karen?
Did not have a copy.
How about on Blu-ray?
Smart idea. Yeah, since you're the TMC or whatever the station's called.
This is a good movie. And it's a movie that's made in the immediate post-war period. And it's actually really interesting because it asks the question, what happened to all those Nazis at the end of the Second World War? Did they just vanish? According to this movie, at least one of them is safely ensconced in a nice little New England town. And he's played by Orson Welles. And he's married to a sweet, sweet, unsuspecting lassie played by Loretta Young.
Well, what do you think?
Well, this, actually, I did enjoy it. The storyline was really good. I'm sort of iffy on some of the Orson Welles movies, this one, half and half, but this one was one of the good ones that I really enjoyed, so I have to say yes.
What was good about it? It's like Edward G. Robinson, his pursuit of Orson Welles.
Yes.
I thought his wife was a little bland, but I think she was supposed to be played that way.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been one of my issues. I thought, I mean, she wasn't a great actress, wasn't bad, she was just there.
Yeah.
I thought Orson Welles was amazing. I think he shows you in this movie how good and dynamic he can be.
Yeah.
I love the guy behind the counter. The guy that, he plays checkers all day. Is that
yeah.
what he does? He just plays checkers.
Yeah.
Almost like a Hitchcock movie.
Yes, very similar to a Hitchcock movie. And I like the way he killed the guy right at the beginning, gave him a choke out in the gym.
Yes.
Yes, the other Nazi agent who was desperate and fleeing and to cover and to protect himself, killed him without a second thought.
I like that.
On his wedding day.
Yes.
You know, like, which I thought was interesting, because then, of course, he goes back and is all glad-handing at the wedding.
Yeah, he just acts normal, like, at the wedding.
You
kill someone, then you go back to the wedding and act normal, I mean.
So, Kevin, does Orson Welles have this thing with bell towers?
What do you mean?
Well, I don't know. Well, Hitchcock uses it in Vertigo. We see it in The Stranger. So what is it with these directors and throwing people off bell towers, buildings?
I don't know. I thought the bell tower in this one was kind of cool.
Oh, I love the bell tower. I think it makes the movie for me. I thought it was a solid movie. And what really bumped it up was the end scene when they're chasing you.
Yeah.
And he goes up to the bell tower and off he goes. Mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty cool.
The one thing I loved was how the Orson Welles character was, you know, how he had the clockwork, like the clockwork obsession. And how time he walked into a room, like he just, you didn't notice it at first. And then as he went on, he started to realize that the character was compelled to do it. Like he would have to go over and fiddle with the clock face, which was a really great setup for the ending.
Right. Anyone else have something to add? I thought Edward G. Robinson was really good.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I thought I saw him first in this.
Relentless, but brilliant.
And then I saw him again in Double Indemnity. I loved him there. And I'm starting to become a really big Edward G. Robinson fan.
What year was this movie made? 47, I think?
Yes.
And it was black and white?
Yes. Excellent.
It was just after, like, well, shortly after this one. This was his last Hollywood hurrah. He went off to Europe. And I think the next film he made was Othello. But he would go on and star in the occasional Hollywood movie over the next decade or so.
Wait, didn't he make Lady from Shanghai before he left?
No, I think Lady from Shanghai predates this one.
Okay.
Yeah, it was 45 or 46.
Yeah, it was definitely much earlier.
Yeah.
Cal, what's your favorite segment? When'd you buy?
Oh, we're on to that? I thought we were still talking about Australia.
Oh, I thought we were done. Sorry, go ahead.
Anyway, a good film, but not his greatest, for sure.
I enjoyed it.
You could tell that it was studio pressures were definitely he had to bring certain things under. So it didn't have quite as many overwhelming touches. So, alright, so what did I buy? I bought Outlaw Josie Wales on Blu-ray.
Where's your pile?
I bought The Man Who Would Be King. I bought Green Lantern Emerald Knights, thank you. I bought True Grit.
Which True Grit?
The new one?
Yeah.
It was cheap. That's why I got it.
Why was it so cheap, do you think?
I don't know. They want to sell it. Under $20.
That's pretty good.
Digital copy and DVD.
Do you get the digital copies?
I do. I put them on my phone.
Oh.
Watch them when I travel. I'm watching The Lord of the Rings on my phone.
Right now. Extended?
No. That's okay. That's what I see. And what else did I get? So I got the Peacemaker in preparation for our next episode.
You paid money for it?
Yeah, it was like $5.
Still, you paid money for it?
Yeah.
It's not bad.
And I got T2 for $5. This was all at the Blockbuster clear out.
Yeah, that Buster's out. I have to complain about something else.
So I bought T2 on Blu-ray, which I've been holding off on for some reason. And I bought Transformers 1 and 2.
Why? Horrible.
Because I want to watch Megan Fox in slow motion.
Why don't you watch Passion Play?
I'm just kidding. What's that?
That's her new movie.
Is that the one where she's an angel?
That's the one.
He was out for a week.
Yeah. 6 weeks, no way.
Yeah, no. Okay.
From where I've seen it.
Man Who Would Be King, I got. Oh, and I bought the Superman anthology on Blu-ray.
Good. Can we, did that come with the daughter cut, too?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I actually sat down and watched Superman, the extended version.
I didn't know there was extended versions.
Oh, yeah. It's like half an hour longer.
What's the extra scenes?
I can tell you. I don't know. There's just extra stuff in there from Krypton. And with, like, you know the scene in Superman 1 where he shot as Clark Kent?
Yes. It's
like the very first day in Metropolis, and you know, Lois thinks he's fainted and so forth. Well, right after that, in the extended cut, he goes back to the Fortress of Solitude and he tells Jor-El about his day. So there's like a 5-minute sequence where he's talking about, and Jor-El's like, well, you have to keep this up because this is, you know, your way of relating to them. And,
oh, really? You
know, so it makes it sound like the whole double identity thing was Jor-El's idea.
Oh.
Yeah.
Karen?
Yes, also at the Blockbuster Closeout Sale, which, brand new, Despicable Me, Three Faces of Eve,
good choice,
The Fighter, for like $6, Gross Point Blank, Fletch, and some old, you know, some good old 80s movies that, you know, never made it.
Like what?
Well, like Fletch was a good 80s movie. Gross Point Blank, good.
Fletch was a good 80s movie.
Gross Point Blank.
You know what? If you could turn the soundtrack up on Fletch, but that soundtrack is so loud and annoying, you can't. It's unwatchable almost.
Kevin Smith's supposed to remake that.
He wanted to.
I had a bunch of previous reviewed stuff. Black Death, The Devil's Mistress.
Black Death, is that the Sean Bean?
Sean Bean one, which I hadn't was having trouble finding actually before.
And not Buster Hammond?
Yeah.
It's surprising.
They had a ton of it, actually.
I rented that, that's why they're in business.
And then a bunch of
Bob
was with me. What did you buy, Bob?
Okay, I bought Cold Souls. That's a Paul Giamatti movie.
I saw the trailer for that, yeah.
Can I come out of theaters?
I don't know.
It never did.
CJ.
No.
Okay, good.
No, it never did.
Doesn't matter. Some of the animated, like Emerald Knights, never came out of the theater.
But that
oh my god,
movie.
I'm going to make you watch it.
Remember me. Final Destination 2. The Visitor. The Shipping News.
Saw a long time ago.
Wolverine X-Men Origins.
Kevin's number one worst movie of the year.
I watched that again recently.
Oh, why?
Because I wanted to learn about Wolverine's origins again.
Who again.
Cares?
Clearly you had nothing else to watch.
In blue. After X-Men First Class, I revisited all of the X-Men movies.
Okay, yeah. I'm leaving. I'm sleepy. You guys suck.
What'd you buy,
Tommy? I didn't bring my stuff because I had to bring dinner tonight, so you have to wait till next two episodes from now.
You can't remember what you bought?
I bought Miracle Worker with Anne Bancroft. I bought Sam I Am. No, I Am Sam.
I
bought
Sam.
Animal.
Oh,
I bought Mixed Nuts. I bought Racing Stripes. Oh, I bought 2 Weeks Notice. Bought Volcano. I bought 41 movies in one day for $1 and $2, so I can't remember them all. So don't worry, they're all coming the next few weeks. That's what I can remember off the top of my head. Well, I told you. I think that's all I can remember. I think so. Oh, I bought Live, When a Man Falls, too. Oh, I bought Vacancy. I think that's one new. No, Identity.
John Cusack?
That's it. Well, that's it. That's all I can remember. I was going to bring the pile, but dinner was more important.
Dinner's always more important.
Okay, always. I'm going to bed. Good night.
All right, he's Simon.
I'm Karen.
It used to be Bob.
The intern.
Well, I'm now the intern. I used to be Bob.
And I'm still Dan.
Oh, I can't wait.
And I'm Kevin.
And if they make it.
Simon makes us watch it.
He's pulled pork.
That was good pulled pork. Stop harassing.
It was good.
Don't be nice.